morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, God with Us, based on Acts chapter 17 and John chapter 14. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you all here this morning. It's been, I don't know if you know this, it has been 2 months. We suspended our first services on March 18th. It is now May 17th, and so 2 months since we've been able to worship here together in person as a congregation. And I'm so thankful that we are doing a soft opening and trying to be safe, but so thankful that we can worship God together in person and in community. And also, I want to welcome everyone who is still not able to join us in person, who are tuning in online or on the radio. So glad that you could be with us here this morning also. We begin this morning with our opening hymn, number 849. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm for this morning comes from Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has kept our soul among the living, and he has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer, nor removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know that this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 655. Well, good morning. It's great to see you all here again. Actually get to preach in front of people, which is a great blessing, and so glad you could join me here. Well, in our first reading this morning, we came across the Apostle Paul, and we see him walking down the streets of Athens. But as he does so, it doesn't take him long for the spirit inside of him to start burning. For as he's walking in the public square, he sees all around him a multitude of idols. Every street corner is littered with false gods and man-made objects of worship. And there's perhaps hundreds, if not thousands, of these false gods. The people of Athens are worshiping and making offerings to what's essentially blocks of wood. And you can imagine Paul's heart burning, for he was a man on fire for the gospel, all because he has come to know and to see the glory and the majesty of God for himself. He's personally experienced the grace of God, and he's witnessed firsthand the loving kindness of the Lord. And he's so overwhelmed by God's grace that he wants everybody else to know and experience this same grace for themselves. He wants them to know the gospel and for them to receive eternal life. But on top of that, Paul, he's also a very practical, kind and loving Christian. You'll notice that he doesn't just immediately jump down people's throats. He doesn't threaten these people with divine judgment. He doesn't call them blind fools. He doesn't coerce them in any way. But instead, very practically and humbly, he meets them where he's at, where they're at. He takes an interest in them, and he loves them. He has patience with them as the Lord himself has shown patience upon him. Paul was not threatened or insulted by their unbelief. He just wants them to know that there is life and salvation in God. And so, as his heart is burning and as he's walking down the street, verse 22 tells us that he notices that these are a very religious people. Granted, they're misguided and they're wrong in their beliefs. They don't have a proper understanding of who God is, but Paul understands that they are nevertheless religious. They're nevertheless looking after and seeking more gods or some religious experience. And in their religiosity, so many of them, they're trying to cover all of their bases. Even if they have hundreds of idols, even if they all prove to be wrong, there remains one last idol that will cover their backs. Verse 23 tells us that that idol is inscribed to the unknown God. That's how religious the people of Athens were. They have false gods for everything, and just in case they missed one, they have the backup to cover their bases to the unknown God. And Paul uses that ambiguity as a door of opportunity. The Lord has opened up this channel by which he can reveal himself to the people in Athens. And Paul begins to speak to them about the almighty, all-glorious, and living God. He says, "What you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you today. The God whom you claim to not know is none other than the maker and creator of the universe. He's the one who's formed each of us in our mother's womb. He's the one from whom you daily receive life and breath and everything you have. The God you do not know is not a creature made by human hands. He wasn't formed in the imagination of human minds. He is unlike these other idols, for he is the creator. He's the one who formed man in his own image. And God, he is not dwelling in temples made by man. And he is not limited to any one location, but rather he is the Lord, and he is all in all." And so at the crux of Paul's argument, he concludes in verse 27 that God is not far from any one of you. He's not far from you, for in him and in his sovereignty, in his power, and in his love is where we live and move and have our being. God is near. And yet how many people live as if God were truly distant, as we feel as if God were truly distant. We live as if he is truly far away, whether that's by us living in fear, or if we're feeling worthless, or if we're just living for our own passions. They all flow out of an unbelief that God is somehow distant from us. And that curse was born from the creation account as man fell from grace. Man sinned against God, our spirits died, and so by nature we feel distant. By nature, God feels so far away. And so where is our communion with him? We can pray, we can meditate, we can read his word, but so often the Lord feels distant. There's no sense of the Almighty deep into our hearts. Because that's just what fallen hearts do. That's how they feel. So many people today claim that there either is no God or that he is otherwise just so far from us. It's as if his existence has no bearing on our lives and he remains a mystery. And yet in the garden, it's not man who ever asks God where he's at. But it's the opposite, as it's God's voice who's always constantly crying out, Adam, man, woman, child, where are you? As he calls out to you, he's calling for you to repent and for you to stop running from his loving kindness. Turn and see that the Lord is near. You can see his fingerprints everywhere. For God not only created the heavens and the earth, but he continues to sustain everything. He upholds it. He keeps it safe. He's keeping the laws of nature intact. And by his mighty hands, he takes care of his creation. His circumference can't be measured, but the center of his being is everywhere. The center of his presence and the full manifestation of his mercy is always with you. This is a beautiful text. But this is also another one of those law gospel texts. You know, it's good news, but only for those who are righteous and for those who have their sins forgiven. It's good news for those who are pure and holy, but for fallen sinners, this is a frightening truth. It's dreadful to think how everything we do is done in the presence of the Almighty. Whether you're alone and in the dark, his eyes are always upon you. I don't know if you've ever seen those beehives that allow you to observe the nest. They're the ones where the hives are made from a pane of glass, and through the glass you can observe everything that the bees are doing. We do the same thing with ant farms, where you can just see every movement and everything that the ants are doing. But I want to invite you to see the world as such. For as we can see the bees and the ants, everything they do, so can God observe, and so does God observe every movement. Nothing is hidden from his eyes, and he sees every action and every thought. And more than that, he searches and knows the intentions of your heart and the imaginations of your mind. Everything is done. All that we do is done in the presence of God. Even when we, like busy bees or bumbling ants, try to ignore the Lord, and we try to go about our business, the Lord remains the same. He observes. And for many of us, it might not even enter our minds to even think upon the Lord. Perhaps for many of us, we could go days without giving him a single thought. But is not our Creator and our Redeemer and our Sustainer worthy of even more than our praise? Whether we're clueless to his presence or not, He nevertheless remains near to us. He is near even when we've thought little of him. Every blasphemy of his character, we have whispered it into his ears. We've ridiculed his plans, and when we've called his ways evil, we've spoken them directly into his face. We've insulted the Creator while his eyes are ever so fixed upon us. Dream as you will, but know that we are never outside the dominion of God's reign. We have rebelled against our Creator. We are constantly in the reach of his throne. Even though he supplies us with every breath of life that we have, we constantly rebel against him. And we've taken liberty to live as we please when it's in God's sovereignty that we live and move and have our being. But dear friends, the God who is near is also looking for objects of mercy. The Lord God is seeking after sinners and creatures upon whom he can pour out his favor. And as your eyes gaze to look upon the cross, he observes both your hearts and your eyes. As you look to Jesus for the forgiveness and salvation, the Lord hears your sighs. If you have but a mustard seed-sized faith, the Lord perceives it. He longs to have compassion upon you, and your tears that flow from your prayer closet and your pleas for mercy have all melted the heart of God. He longs to show you his mercy and loving kindness. The Lord is so near to you that he has even put on human flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, has become our brother. Bone from our bone and flesh from our flesh, he has become one of us. And he dwelt among us, bringing heaven down to earth. Jesus came bringing the kingdom of God down from above. And as he did, he brought life, the forgiveness of sins, and the promises and gifts of God. This is what brought Paul to have that burning passion inside him. And to close this morning, I want to end just with a quick word of exhortation. For dear friends, the Lord is in your midst this morning, and he is calling you today to holy living. He's calling you to love your neighbor, and he's calling you to live out the faith that has been entrusted to you. For this is why the Lord remains with you even today. He hasn't sent you off into the world to live alone or to live as you please, but he has sent you along with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to provide for you, and he is always with you. He is there to strengthen you, and the Lord invites you to call upon him, and he will be found, and there he will lead you into a life of loving kindness. In his name, amen. We sing our next hymn, number 834. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are always with us, and we further glorify your name, for you are always quick to pour out your grace upon people. All who call upon you find that you are a God who is quick to forgive sins. And as we are people who have experienced your mercy, we pray that we can continue to live and find peace in this truth. We ask that you would continue to strengthen us with your mercy, that we can live holy lives. Remind us that no matter what we go through in life, you are always with us, and that the great Comforter is there to protect and to provide for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of the church, we thank you that you continue to watch over your church here on earth. We thank you especially for the LCMS, our church bodies, and for those with whom we have fellowship. As your church continues in her mission to spread your gospel through the world, you are constantly raising up new leaders and new pastors to shepherd your people. This morning, we thank you for all the seminary students who have recently received calls. We ask that you would bless their ministries, bless their works and congregations, and surround them with great children of God that they will love them and support them as they preach and teach your word. And furthermore, we pray for Concordia Seminary in St. Louis as they extended a call for a new president of the school. We pray that you would use Dr. Rast to help lead the faculty and staff into all that is true, beautiful, and good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we lift before you all who are hurting and experiencing the pains of life. We ask that you would come upon them and grant them your peace and comfort. Pour in them your Holy Spirit, that their hearts and minds may find rest in you and in your promises. We pray especially this morning for Judy Classing as she continues to battle against cancer. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would provide and give her the strength to continue through chemotherapy treatments, and surround her with friends and family to support her. And also, we ask that you would continue to look after Sam Yokley as he has moved nursing homes. We ask that you continue to look after him, his family, and those who take care of him during these trying times. Pour out your loving grace upon Sam all of his days, for he is indeed one of your dearly beloved children. And further, we lift before you all who are on our prayer list and on our hearts and minds this morning. Be with all of these, your servants, and keep them safe in your loving arms. Strengthen our faith so that we may all inherit your kingdom of grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we pray that you continue to lead our nation and the nations of the world to make wise and just decisions. As countries begin and continue to open up, we pray that you would continue to keep our medical personnel in good spirits. And we ask further that you would help keep our healthcare systems under its full capacity. May all who need medical assistance find the care and treatments that they need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn at number 578.